We're going to move along this morning in our parables. I've been working through the parables that are exclusive to Luke. And this morning, I'll be doing a message on the two lamps. There are two texts here. They're kind of companion texts. And we're going to read them, and I'm going to preach them to you this morning. I think because I'll be in the pulpit again next week, and I'm really excited about that. But I think I'm going to do something different next week. So I'm giving you kind of like a little teaser, I guess, for next Sunday. Just with everything that's been taking place in our country, I've had a number of conversations recently between here and the hospital. It's really on my heart to do a message on the sovereignty of God, and so I believe next week. That's what I'm going to do. So, a matter of fact, I guess I just sealed it. So next week, I'm really planning on doing a message on God's sovereignty. This morning, though, let me draw your attention back to the Gospel of Luke, and you can open your Bibles to both chapters 8 and chapter 11. I'm going to be reading both of those passages this morning. And in these two passages, we'll find two similar but different parables from Jesus regarding lamps. And as you find your place here in your Bibles, again, let me remind you that I'm working through the parables that are exclusive to Luke. These parables are particularly interesting because they address two sides of the same coin. They both have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they are not identical in their message. And the message of each will be the focus of my sermon today. But for now, let me read you the two passages, and we'll go from there. First passage is here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, and then I'm going to move right ahead to chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. In chapter 11. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays give you light. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. As we prepare our hearts to hear and to receive its truth, we ask, Lord, that your spirit would work in our spirits, that we would cast aside any distraction, cast aside the things maybe of this world that take our thoughts away from you. Help us to receive the fullness of your word in its truth. Father, and strengthen me, your preacher, that I might be faithful and obedient in the preaching of your word. Let it go forth with power and with boldness, accomplishing the purpose for which you sent it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before we look at today's parables, I want to go back and read something for you that we find earlier in the chapter, in Luke chapter 8. As Jesus is teaching the crowds with parables, his disciples asked him what the parables meant. And this is how Jesus responds in verse 9. Listen. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for the others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And when we read this response from Jesus, it appears at first as if Jesus is saying that he taught in parables to hide the truth from the crowds. However, we immediately see that this is not the case in our first parable today. In fact, Jesus taught in parables for the opposite reason. Jesus taught in parables to illuminate the truth with a relatable or familiar story. And the word parable, it actually means to cast alongside. So a parable is a story that illustrates a truth by placing it alongside something that might be familiar to the listener. Parables often start off with something familiar to provide a picture for the listener. And as we carefully think about this picture, it becomes a mirror for us. Parables really provide a mirror for us to see our reflection, where we belong in that particular story. However, the problem is that many of us do not like to see our reflections. We don't like to see what's in the mirror. And many times we reject the picture that has been illustrated. Last week, my sermon was on the Good Samaritan, and in that parable, we are provided with a mirror that reflects how effectively we love others. And if you remember, the lawyer in that parable, for example, he certainly did not want to see his reflection. And so he rejected Jesus. However, the goal for each of us today is to be honest with ourselves as we see our reflections. We must be honest with ourselves in light of truth. And if we are honest with ourselves, then the mirror actually becomes a window for us to see that we are sinners in need of God's grace. It becomes a window for us to see our transgressions and our need for a Savior. It becomes a window for us to see how desperately we need Christ to save us. It's a window for us and for others to see the gospel. But again, to understand a parable requires honesty with ourselves. It requires humility to admit that we are weak. See, the problem with so many in the crowds is that they lack both honesty and they lacked humility. And therefore, they rejected the teachings of Christ. And what we learn in today's parables is that the teaching of Jesus is a light. And this light must be allowed to shine so that sinners might be saved. The question today is, will you be receptive to this truth? Will you be honest with yourself? Will you listen with humility and openness to hear the Word of God and submit to its authority in your life? And as you ask yourself these questions, please listen closely today. You'll have to ask yourself some tough questions. But these parables will help to expose some areas in your lives that need to be addressed. And they will provide you with both a mirror to see yourself and also a window to see the gospel. So let me begin right here in Luke 8. These very first words: no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it. As we begin with this first parable in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, it's important to know that this parable here is being taught immediately after the parable of the sower. And remember, the parable of the sower was a parable that was dealing with the Word of God and how it is received by different people. In the parable, Jesus made the comparison between good soil and bad soil. And it's important to remember this because it's the context for today's parable. See, Jesus was speaking about good soil and bad soil, or in other words, those who receive the gospel and those who do not receive the gospel. And now he is following up that parable with one that deals with how the gospel itself is presented. Let me explain to you what I mean. Well, the first part of this parable speaks about what? The lighting of a lamp. An obvious question. Why would someone light a lamp? Well, would you light a lamp in the middle of the day with your house full of daylight? No, of course not. You see, lamps were lit at night, and they were placed on a lampstand in the middle of a room to illuminate the entire room. It would bring light into the room, and it would therefore eliminate darkness. And it would be placed in the middle so that everyone in that room could see. And this is the first point. Simple. But a lamp is lit due to darkness. So as we look to this parable, the first words begin with the lighting of this lamp, and it immediately points out to all of us that darkness exists. But Jesus is not referring to darkness in a room. Remember, the parable is to present us with the truth alongside a story that would provide a familiar picture to the listener. The type of darkness Jesus is referring to is the type of darkness we see over and over again in Scripture and in his teachings. He is implying darkness, but a spiritual darkness. And it's because of this spiritual darkness that a lamp needs to be lit. For without the light, that spiritual darkness and sin cannot be exposed. The problem, though, like we pointed out last week, if you were here, is that people prefer darkness to the light. They prefer the darkness because they love their sin. And I know I used this text last week, but it's appropriate again today. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, 19 and 20, states it perfectly. It'll kind of lead us into our next point. Here's the text. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. See, this is the first truth. Those of the world are in darkness. Again, to be clear, it's not a real darkness like night and day, but a spiritual darkness. For those who live in bondage to sin are spiritually dead and walking in spiritual darkness. But as we just read in John, while we live in darkness, light has come into the world, and that light is Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 8:12, and you'll see how things begin to tie together for us in Scripture. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, the world is in spiritual darkness in need of a light, and the light is Jesus. He is the only true, the only perfect light, and his light exposes sin. And he lights a spiritual lamp. A spiritual lamp inside all of those who believe and trust in him. He says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have this light of life. And there's so many passages that teach us this same message. 1 John 1, 5 and 7. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Or 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, Jesus constantly exposed the darkness of the world. He constantly exposed sin, and the people, they hated him because of it. When anyone meets Jesus, they see his true and perfect light. Problem is that when we aren't exposed to his light, we compare ourselves. We compare ourselves to each other, and we never realize that we are in darkness. We convince ourselves that we are better or just as good as others. We justify our sins and we try to live in darkness. However, when we come face to face with the light of Jesus, the perfect light of God, we see the depths of our sin, the depths of our depravity. And this leads me to my next point here on this opening verse, that when we realize we are sinners living in darkness, when we repent and turn to Jesus, when we no longer trust in self, but in the saving power of Christ, in his sacrificial work on the cross, when we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he lights our lamp. He lights our spiritual lamp inside each and every one of us who believes in him. And at this point, it's really central to the parable to know this. Remember, the parable for us is to use as a mirror, and we must be honest with what we see. The message here is that we are to be light also. And some might ask, well, if we're in darkness, how can we be light? And that's exactly where this parable comes in. Jesus is the light, but he lights us as a lamp. And if you understand lamps and how they work, lamps, they reflect light. So once we know and walk with Christ, we are to be lamps, lamps that reflect his light. And I love illustrations in Scripture, and I want to use John the Baptist as an example of this truth. In the Gospel of John 5, chapter 5, verses 32 through 35, Jesus states this. Listen to what he says about John the Baptist. Jesus said, there is another who bears witness about me. I think he could be talking about maybe being a lamp and reflecting his light. I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to this truth. He is reflecting my light. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things to you so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. See, John the Baptist was a burning and shining lamp of Christ who bore witness about him, who bore witness to the truth. And we are to be like John the Baptist, shining lamps reflecting the light of Christ. Another great illustration of this is the sun and moon. When the moon comes up, it shines in the sky. However, it does not shine by its own light. It actually reflects the light of the sun. For the sun is the true greater light, while the moon is the lesser light and only reflects the light of the sun. And this is true for each of us. We do not shine light, but we simply reflect the true and perfect light of Christ. Brings me to my final point here on this first parable, and I'm going to read for you the remaining verses 16 through 18. Listen now. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. I think the point and the obvious question here is, well, if we are lamps, how are we to reflect the light of Christ? And this is the question where we really have to take a hard look in the mirror. See, the truth is that we are called to be like Christ. We are to continually grow and mature in the Word. We are to seek Him daily. We're to set our hearts upon Him. We are to love God. We are to worship Him. We are to evaluate our lives and remove idols that keep us from Christ. We are to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to renew the spirit of our minds. We are to put off our old selves, to put on our new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We are to love God. We talked about this last week. We are to love God and to love others. We are to die to self, and we are to live for Christ. And see, when we do these things, we reflect His light in our lives. When we do these things, the light of Christ in us will begin to expose the darkness of this world. When we let our light shine, it will expose dishonesty. It will expose gossip and greed. It will expose pride and selfishness, corruption. It'll expose lust, ungodly morals. It will expose sin. Jesus has ignited something inside each of us, and we must not hide it. In the light, sin looks even darker to others because our lives reflect the light of Jesus. And this engages the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And when we live for Christ and grow in our determination to let His light shine in our lives, we grow in faith. Not only will we see our faith mature, but it will encourage other believers. It will set an example for our friends and family members, and ultimately, we will see others come to Christ because they will be drawn. They are drawn to His light. As we shine His light, others would be able to see Christ in us. In the parable, it states that the one who grows will grow more, and the one who does not grow by not listening and seeking Him will become weaker as His light is dimmed or taken away. We should all strive to be holy as God is holy, but we should also strive to be kind We should strive to be compassionate. We should strive to be loving and gracious. We should strive to be winsome. Winsome with the light that we have inside of us. We are now ambassadors for God, striving to reach the world with the gospel and the light of Christ. I think that's the question for us today. It's, will we faithfully pursue Christ and be a lamp for Him? That is a question for you, for each and every one of you who professes Christ. Will you faithfully pursue Him? Will you be a lamp for Him? Will we listen to this parable and take it to heart as we look at our reflection in that mirror? For if we do, again, that mirror becomes a window that opens up, and we will begin to demonstrate to others the power of the gospel. This is where we now move to the second parable of the two lamps. See, while the first parable is for those who believe in Christ, the second parable is for unbelievers. Verse 33 Luke chapter 11 begins much like the 8:16 text. And let me read it for you. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Again, very similar in how the parable begins. However, the rest of the parable is much different. And as we look at verses 34 through 36, let me first remind you, like I did in the first parable, what immediately preceded this parable in chapter 11. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus cast out a demon from a man. And then Jesus was accused of being an agent of Satan. Think about that. Think about that. Jesus, who was performing miracles, God incarnate, the promised Messiah. And as he was doing these things, the crowds were claiming that they were being performed by the power of Satan. See, then in verse 29 of this chapter, just before Jesus teaches this parable, we read this. When the crowds were increasing, Jesus began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." Of course, this sign of Jonah that Jesus spoke about was referenced to the coming miracle of his resurrection. For the people had already witnessed many of his miracles, but they were unbelieving. Again, not only were they unbelieving, but they opposed Jesus, they rejected him, and they attributed his miracles to the power of Satan. And this is where we get to the second parable of the lamp. Jesus here is pointing out that the reason for their lack of belief was not due to a lack of evidence. It was not due to an inability to perform miracles. There was plenty of evidence that Jesus was, in fact, the Christ and the Messiah. The reason for their unbelief was due to their blindness. They could not see the truth. They didn't want to see the truth. Their own stubbornness kept them in darkness as they completely rejected Jesus. They rejected his light. See, the parable here is a challenge from Jesus. He is challenging those in the crowds to change their perspective, to change their outlook. Jesus is pointing them to a mirror so that they could see themselves and stop wandering around in the darkness. This is why Jesus applied the image of the lamp to their eyes. Let me read for you verses 34 through 35. As I read this, just think about what I just pointed out to you regarding the crowds rejecting Jesus in truth. Jesus said to them this, Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. This is the point of the second parable. Jesus is the light. And those who have rejected him need to look at him with healthy eyes. If they would just look at Jesus with humility, if they would look at Jesus with honesty, if they would simply turn from their sin and repent, if they would change their perception of Jesus, they would see his light. They would see the light of the world. The people were in such bondage to their sin that they could not see the light of Jesus. They could not look at his miracles and see him as the promised Christ and Messiah. They could not see him as God incarnate. They were so blind and they were in such darkness that they thought his works were of the devil. Jesus is telling them to see that the light before them is not darkness. See, the truth is that these men and women still today, do not see the light of Jesus because they don't want to see the light of Jesus. Both in the parable and still today, the crowds are consumed with their sinful ways. They don't want to be exposed in the light. Let me read for you again, John 3. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. I want to tie this together for you this morning with both parables, and I want to read you a testimony. As I read this testimony to you, I want you to listen for many of the key points that we see in these parables that I've made today. And the testimony is not just any testimony, but it's found in the book of Acts. It's a testimony that comes from the Apostle Paul. And just, I love how Scripture works together. Everything is, there's such unity in the Bible. And just listen to how all this kind of gets wrapped together in Paul's testimony in Acts 26. And he's sharing his testimony with King Agrippa. And King Agrippa, by the way, was the great-grandson of Herod the Great. I want you to listen to how he recounts his conversion from being a persecutor of the church or one who is in spiritual darkness to becoming one of the greatest apostles of Christ and a lamp reflecting the light of Jesus. These are his words now. I was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. Talk about a man in spiritual darkness. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice say to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Those last two sentences is the gospel. Turning from darkness to light. Turning those who have closed their eyes from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ. You see how this man now, who has become a lamp for Christ, also provides a window for others to see the power of Jesus. This testimony to the work of Christ is also a perfect illustration for this parable. Again, Paul was living in complete darkness. He had totally and completely rejected Jesus and the gospel. He was spending his life studying the law, and yet he was blind to the truth. It wasn't until he was able to see the light of Christ clearly that he turned from his sin, committed his life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. And just to further illustrate this truth, after Jesus appeared to Paul, Paul was what? He was blind for 3 days. And in his blindness, God sent Ananias to lay hands on Paul and to baptize him. And listen to what happened when Ananias went to see Paul. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on Paul, he said, "Brother, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Paul immediately rose, and something like scales fell from his eyes as he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. See, this is symbolic. Symbolic of what happens when one turns to Jesus. The scales are removed from our eyes. We are no longer blind, walking around in spiritual darkness, but we are saved and brought into the Lord's marvelous light. And so as I conclude this second parable on the two lamps, I have a couple of takeaways for you. If you're here today and you've stepped out of darkness into light, if you know and walk with Christ, there's a very clear message for you. How effectively are you reflecting His light? When you take inventory of your life, what type of lamp are you? In case you have difficulty trying to find examples, let me help you this morning. When you're tempted to chase after physical pleasure or selfish gain, how do you reflect the light of Christ by not giving into the flesh or to gratify its desires? When you're out living in the world, how effectively do you keep your lamp on the lampstand so that it shines before others? When you're being recognized by others and receive attention, how often do you point back to the cross, to the light source, so that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven? How often do you pray for those who persecute you? Do you abstain from from sexual immorality? Do you surrender your life to Jesus and walk with humility? Do you reflect Christ in your thinking and in your talking? Do you grumble or dispute with one another? Are you critical in spirit? Or do you demonstrate love for others? Do you display gentleness and kindness? Can one look at your life and see the joy of the Lord? What about patience? What about self-control? There are so many questions we could ask ourselves. It could all be summed up with this one simple question that we take away from today's parable. Are we, more importantly, are you reflecting the light of Christ? And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, if you do not know him or the power of his glorious light, then you are still in darkness. If you've covered your eyes and rejected God, then the message is very clear. Today is the day to repent and turn to Christ. For you must decide. You cannot have your sin and Jesus too. The sin and darkness will keep you from his light. But if you would turn to him, he will save you and shine his light in your life forever. His gift of grace is freely offered to all men and women, but the window will not be open forever. You can continue to walk around the house stumbling in darkness, or you can give your life to him. And I promise you this, that his light is powerful and it's beautiful and it's full of love and it's full of forgiveness, but I cannot make you change your perspective on Jesus. I cannot make you see him with healthy eyes. I cannot forcibly light your lamp. It's not of me, but of God. What I can do is call for you to turn to him today. Repent and give your life to Christ. See, the enemy, the one who works in darkness, well, he is a liar and he is a thief. And he will have you believe that your happiness is found in your sin, that your happiness is found in the darkness. But the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus came that you might have life and have it abundantly in his light. So as I close here, let us turn our hearts to God. Let us thank Jesus for his light in our lives. Let us glorify him in heaven as we exalt his name. Let us praise him for the work he has done for exposing the darkness. The parable of the lamps provides us with a wonderful reminder of what he has done, for the calling we all have to continually reflect his glory in our lives, and for all to see him for who he is. And let me just leave you with these closing words from Jesus, found in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. I'm going to close here. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let me pray with you. Father, such a powerful word this morning from your parables. A reminder, Lord, that you have saved us from darkness, that you have set your light inside our hearts, inside our spirits. Help us to be good stewards, Lord, with the things you have done in our lives. Help us to reflect your light in word and in deed, that you alone may be glorified. And Father, for those who are unbelieving, soften their hearts. As we read in Paul, remove the blinders, the scales from their eyes, that they may see the truth of your word, that they would see Christ and come to know him as their Lord and Savior. We give you the honor, the glory, and praise for these things. In Christ's name, amen.